To Warn Radio. Warn Radio with your hosts, the Watchman Dana Smith and Tower.
Thanks for listening.
Greetings and welcome to Warn Radio. I am Tower and we are glad you joined us. If you have any correspondence or inquiries for the WIBR Warn Radio Network, you can send them through our contact page on warn-usa.com. Be sure to follow the WIBR Warn Radio on Twitter by using hashtag WatchmanIS216 or hashtag Warn Radio. On LinkedIn, you can find us by hashtag Watchman. You can join us on USA.life or MeWe by using hashtag Warn Radio. And the WIBR Warn Radio is on two new social sites, Parler and Clout Club. You can listen to our show through the following carriers: Blueberry, iHeartRadio, iTunes Player, Apple Podcast, Spreaker, Stitcher, TuneIn, Google Play Music, Warn Radio Visions on Blog Talk Radio, Podcast Attic, CastBox, Google Podcast, Anchor, Podchaser, and Deezer. I want to admonish you to take time to listen to the read the articles by the Watchman. They apply to this day and age we're living in. They will help you in your walk in these last days. The two we feature this week are Rebellion or Mercy, the path well worn. There is a path well worn, and it has been traveled since the first beginnings of man on the earth. And Manifest Deliverance, Present Evil World. There is a manifest deliverance from this present evil world. There is a path, a way, a light, and a plain path for all to find this deliverance. And now I welcome in the Watchman.
You're listening to Warn Radio on the WIBR Warn Radio Network. Don't forget to visit our websites at warn-usa.com and danaglennsmith.com, and also follow us on Twitter, find us on Instagram, and join us on LinkedIn.
Greetings, Dana. How are you doing tonight?
Well, I'm doing good. Here we are on a Thursday.
On battle lines.
Yep, it's hard to believe how fast time flies.
I know, it's the 9th of July already.
And the news is still the news. Everything that's in the news, and it's still bad. Well, that is, except for a few of them.
Yeah.
So at any rate, that's the way it is.
Yep.
I didn't miss much. I hadn't seen it all afternoon, because of other things I was doing, working.
It's all the same. It just doesn't change from day to day.
Well, let's see. I got a whole bunch of email, and then I had a whole bunch of news on all my stuff, because I have a news reader. And guess what? All of the emails got deleted because there wasn't anything. And all the news I ignored, so I'm fully informed now.
Yeah, good for you, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, that, remember that old thing that says read nothing, I mean believe nothing of what you read. Something about how much you hear. And there's something about your eyes too. There's a whole saying to that.
Yeah, I can't remember what it is.
That they used to say in my dad's days.
Yeah.
Don't believe anything you read. Believe only 80% of what you hear. And I don't know about seeing.
Yeah,
at any rate.
I don't know either. But, you know, you can hold to that, especially today. Except the only thing that's 100% sure, and you can believe it, and I was going to say you could take it to the bank, but you can't trust the banks.
No, you can't trust the bank, not anymore.
It's the Word of God. That is for sure and for certain. It's 100% truth and accurate, and
that's
God
right.
Never goes back on His Word.
Yep, that's true. Well, at any rate, let's get started on this. We're going to be in Isaiah.
Okay, I'll see you on the other side.
Okay. We are, this one's called Upright Justice and Judgment. And when you go through Isaiah, and the problem you have, especially with the modern church, when you get into Isaiah and you're going through it like we are, most people are more interested in talk shows and a lot of other stuff. And there are people interested in that. But for the most part, you run into the problems of people not understanding that in Isaiah, there's a lot of prophecies that can apply to the church today and a lot of examples and things. So we are in part 54 of Isaiah's book. And it's been a good study from my standpoint because I've enjoyed getting into it. And we've been in Isaiah 26. And Isaiah 26 is just a great little portion. They almost sound like a whole section of Proverbs. Like, for instance, this one is where we left off, verse 8. Yea, in the way of thy judgments, O Lord, have we waited for thee. The desire of our soul is to thy name and to the remembrance of thee. And, you know, there's one thing that when we talk about judgments, when you talk about judgment in general from the New Testament perspective, and even from the prophets, when God began to judge something, as in when he judged Judah, things are serious. But there's the judgments that he does, the decisions, the things that go on. And, for instance, when we remember what God did with Egypt and how he manifested his name and his glory through Moses and Aaron, how he told Moses and Aaron that Moses would be like God to Pharaoh and Aaron would be like his prophet to Pharaoh. See, Pharaoh said to them, you know, who is the Lord that I should obey? And that's kind of like a lot of nations today. And a lot of people believe that too. There's a lot of people that don't believe in this. You get into Christianity, you get into faith, you get into God, into the, you know, the twilight zone comes up for a lot of people. Ooh, you know, just like that he's out there, you know. And we don't want that, you know. You get into that. So, yea, in the way of thy judgments. And so when we look at the way God handled Egypt and delivered Israel and through all the things he did in his judgments and the statutes that he gave, I mean, even in the law, a lot of people are afraid of the law. There's nothing to be afraid with the law. Christ fulfilled the law. He didn't destroy the law. But when you look at the law itself, there's a lot of statutes in there. And there's a lot of things concerning health and cleanliness. All those things are very, very important. And even in the foods, you'd do well to pay attention to some of the food restrictions in there for the simple reason they will keep you from eating foods that are tainted, that have a tendency to be tainted, like a lot of shellfish does. Nevertheless, there's a lot of good reasons why God had given Israel that. And today, a lot of our science, and even our, when we talk about the medical end of it, there's a lot of things that God gave the children of Israel to watch out for in different kinds of things that they would run into that our own medical people have used for years. And, you know, so it's really interesting to see how that relates. Now, see, in the way of thy judgment, O Lord, have we waited for thee. Now, see, Judah went into captivity for 70 years, which I consider a generation. It's also a perfect number, 70, 7 times 10. 7 is what I call God's perfect number, and the number 10 is fulfillment, fullness. You know, even in the New Testament, the number 10, 5 wise virgins and 5 foolish virgins, that made up the totality of the whole. And so we see that there. And it says, O Lord, have we waited for thee? God did declare a judgment regarding Judah because they were falling away. And it wasn't a judgment to kill them all. It was a judgment to bring them back from the edge of the cliff where they were going in order to redeem them. And see, when you're in the modern church today and when you're in the world today, you have a tendency to think, well, you know, we're Christians, that's it, we'll never go through any trouble now, everything's fine and dandy. But if you get overseas, you look at a lot of the Christians living, and we report on this every week, you see that many Christians are indeed oppressed. There's many in prison that have been there most of their life. There's many of them that have died. Many of them have lost their homes and everything. They live without anything. And so when you look at that, and you look at most of the West, when you get into Australia, when you get into, I mean, even Hong Kong for a long time was the place to be. A lot of people that were in the financial industry would wind up in Singapore and Hong Kong. You know, you get in a lot of these things, and today in America, you know, we're beginning to go through a number of things. You know, we have COVID. We've had riots in our streets. We have groups that are likened unto Boko Haram. There was a black group that, and this is what they are. You may not like the term blacks, but that's what they are. And there's a lot of also Africans that are really truly Africans, like Boko Haram, Al-Shabaab, that are creating havoc in Nigeria and a lot of other places in Africa that the governments can't take care of. And in America now we have a group that wants Texas, and they're not the only ones. You have an open congresswoman. There's about 4 of them, plus there's some others that are calling for a remaking of our entire system, that are calling to remove it and to bring it down. Now that's about as close to the edge of illegality as you can get. But see, that's going on here. See, there's a lot of things that are happening, and one of our biggest reasons that this is happening in America is because of sin, period. And we're not going to repent of our sins, so we're just going to try to figure a way to live, even if we have sin. And so right now, New York is a mess. And what about New York? New York is one of the most liberal cities we have in America. They have the most liberal abortion, you know, ruling and law that's on the books. And there have been, you know, they talk about saving black lives. There's a whole bunch of black babies that's been aborted along with many others. And before God, it doesn't matter what color they are. It has to do with that's His creation. And while many women think that they have right because it's their body, that's not their baby. That's God's. You see, He's the one that created it. It's His, and He's letting you have a baby as a blessing, and you're murdering it. See, this is where the problem comes in. This is where blood guilt comes in. And of course, you can say this is a judgment. Now, in the way of the judgments in the Old Testament, in Isaiah 26:8, you know, they're rejoicing because they have been delivered. The judgment that fell upon Babylon has created havoc in Babylon because they're no longer a power. They can't oppress Israel anymore, that's for sure. They can't oppress a lot of the others. Now Cyrus, who invaded them, is in charge, and he released all of the children of Israel, and he told them to go back and rebuild it and get the temple going and live there. And so this is part of God's promise to Israel, and he used Cyrus, who was called his anointed. And it says, O Lord, we have waited for thee. And that's exactly what they did. The desire of our soul is to thy name and to the remembrance of thee. Well, see, when you start going through, you know, the judgment of God. And it's just like a Christian. Paul warned about Christians that God will treat you as a father. And what son is there that a father doesn't chastise his son when he does wrong? And he says, if you do not allow this chastising, and if you reject it, and you don't, you know, accept it, then he says, are you not bastards and not sons? And that's something to the Christian church today. You can't go your own way. You can't do whatever you want to do. Just in the same token, Judah could not do what they could do. You know, they had, you know, a long, long tradition going all the way back to Abraham. And yet, when you get, when Judah was judged, they should have been the one having the word of God. They should have been the one that knew what God believed, but they didn't, because everywhere in the political realm, you know, the one in charge of Israel, the political ruler, and then you have, of course, the high priest and all the others that work with him there, and you have the Levites, you have the prophets that were there at the time, you even have the people on the street, and there was all of them who had been turned aside to other gods. And so the desire of their soul now is to the name of the Lord and to the remembrance of him and what he's done and to remember the lesson. And the word Lord here is Yahweh or Jehovah, the covenant name of God. And this is a very, very high form. This is, they know who they're talking about here. This is the Lord that made the covenant at Sinai with him. This is the Lord that sent him into judgment. And I can tell you, you get warm and comfy, and all of a sudden the nation that you're living in is suddenly overrun by people who want to kill you, maim you, and destroy you. And they're destroying everything you have. You're thrown out of the country. You're taken to another place. And you're in servitude for 70 years. You're going to wake up or you're going to die. And, you know, where is wisdom when the Lord speaks, when he begins to spank? What are you going to say? You're going to say, well, Lord, we don't like this. And, you know, frankly, Lord, you can go jump in the lake. Well, that ain't going to work very well. You know, God calls for repentance. And even this society we live in today, he's calling for the same repentance. And when you put Isaiah 26, verses 8 and 9, there's this desire to seek the Lord. And it wasn't always there, folks, because these people had fallen away. But now it is there. Because with the Lord is favor, and with the Lord is his blessing, with the Lord is his protection. Against the Lord is death. Like the scripture says, those who hate the Lord love death. And, I mean, we're talking about today to know the Father through the Son, Yahshua, Jesus Christ. There is only one way to the Father. And there's a lot of people that have gods. The gods of the nations, the prophet says, is they're demons. They're not gods. And so you look at it, and there's only one true God. There's only one true God in charge. But see, today we have a lot of gods, we have a lot of faiths, we have a lot of religions, and every way is right. There's only one way that's right. And the church is there to be the salt, and salt is a preservative. When the preacher preaches that gospel, that word goes out as salt, and it will preserve, it will convict, it will remove the sin if they will repent and bring healing and health and wholeness and blessing from the Lord. But if you reject it, you'll find yourself in a curse. And, you know, the thing of it is, there's nobody that wanted the Lord to deliver them from Babylon than Judah, who was in Babylon. And that's what these verses reflect. You've got 70 years to remember why you got there. And you got there through the judgment of the Lord, and Jeremiah spent a long time trying to tell you. And this would have gone through various age groups. The ones who initially started it, they would have very easily have died in the process of the judgment. Their kids, some of those who were young, Meshach, Shadrach, Abednego, and Daniel, you know, they were young Hebrews who were taken. And you find actually the Hebrew children and Daniel growing old in this. And they go through and they see a lot of things going on. So God was able to prosper them. He was able to keep them. They were able to live their life even in the midst of judgment. And so God can indeed give you favor when these kinds of things happen. But see, we also, today, the church longs for the day when the Lord comes to establish righteousness in the earth. And we believe in a real and actual manifestation of the Lord. We believe in a real establishment of righteousness in the Lord. I mean, in the earth. You know, this is really going to happen. That's where we stand. That's what we believe in. That's what we do. The premise of our ministry. We're an end-time ministry. We preach, we teach, we warn, we exhort. And we're an advocate for the persecuted church, but we also herald in the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, Yeshua. And make no mistake about it, we look for a physical form, a physical Lord, who's going to come, and he's going to put, the devil's going to be gone. We're not going to have the curse of sin. I mean, this is a real thing. And the Jews, when you get back to Moses, he knew the Lord. You know, what part of the burning bush don't you understand, Moses? And when you look at the burning bush, and the burning bush isn't burning, and it's not smoking, but there's a fire there, and a voice is coming out, and there's a presence there that makes your everything in your body begin to shake. And when you look down below, when the children of Israel saw it, they saw the flames on the mount. They saw the shaking and the smoke and the fire and everything on the mount. But when Moses was first, is while he was a shepherd. And God appeared to him in the burning bush. Well, see, then you take a long errand and you go see Pharaoh and you see miracles and signs. You see things begin to happen and you understand, hey, this isn't kindergarten anymore, kids. We're way beyond not believing here. We can see these things happening. And I'm telling you, an unbelieving church and an unbelieving society is going to learn. It's no longer playtime, kids. It's time for you to make up your mind. And I'm telling you today, it's no longer playtime. You better get over what you're into. And I'm telling you, the people that are on the street that are burning and pillaging, this is part of the end time lawlessness. Make no mistake, lawlessness will abound, and the love of many will wax cold. You're going to be filled with deceptions and deceivers and unrighteousness and godlessness, and you're going to have to make a way. Revelation 22 tells you about that way. He that is godly, be godly still. He that is unrighteous, be unrighteous still. And there's a bunch of them. You can read it there. Revelation 22. You make up your own mind. Where are you going to go? Well, I want to be, you know, someone that's going to burn and pillage all your life. Well, good luck with that one. Because the wicked will not live out half their days, especially those who are bloody. Make no mistake about it. There's a lot of innocent people that are dying on the streets, and the politicians do nothing. The blood is going to be on the heads of those politicians. You have a lot of them that are accusing others. But I'm telling you, God is going to weed through all the accusations and all the lies and everything else on the day of judgment. And I'll tell you one more thing. One thing that does a lot of that without God killing anybody, and that's just sin and judgment like he did Judah. And by the time he got through judging Judah, I mean, you get them 70 years later and they say, yes, oh God, we know why you sent it. Dear God in heaven, we want you to come. We love you now. We understand our ways. Now see, unfortunately, today in the world, we haven't seen these kind of judgments. We tell everybody that, oh, you know, it's just a plague, or it's just this, or it's just that, and it's just an eclipse. But I'm telling you, God moves in the ways of the eclipses. He moves in the plagues. He moves in the hurricanes. He gets these things. He sends them. There are judgments that happen in the earth. Now see, a lot of people don't believe that God will do that. But I'll tell you, an old teacher of mine in Bible school said that he can live with a hurricane that God sent more than he can with one that the devil sent. Well, whether you like it or not, God, Scripture says, has his way in the hurricane, the heavy winds, the storm. And if you look the way he judged Sodom and Gomorrah, the way he brought down Babylon, the way he judged Judah, it's time to understand these things are real. And even the apostles realized that, because they brought forth some examples of judgment. You can read them in Jude, and you can read them in Peter. They're in Scripture. The apostles knew They knew very well what the judgment on Sodom and Gomorrah was. They knew very well what the judgment was upon the angels that rebelled against God. They knew very well the judgment that fell upon mankind and saved Noah. Well, you have scientists, doubting this and don't like this, and you have others saying it's nothing but stories, and I've heard all of it. It doesn't matter, kids, because when this thing comes down, you're going to find yourself facing the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, and you're going to be held accountable. So it's about time for you to understand that when we go through things like this in Isaiah, it's to get forth a truth. There's a truth within these things. It's not that we're going to go back to Judah and be like Judah. It's not that we're going to all have to be following the commandments of God as the children of Israel. We are to follow the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we're to repent and walk in his ways. We are to walk, quote 1 John 1, walk in the light as he is in the light. We have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It's time for you to understand that. How much time do you think you got? I'll tell you right now. Charlie Daniels, he was alive 1 second, and the next second he was dead, and he was in the presence of the Lord. And I followed Charlie for a long time on a lot of things. And I know what that guy believed, because he just wasn't a singer. He was a Christian, and he was putting out stuff. He would write things. He would sing songs. He made people believe that this country was headed in the wrong way and that people needed to repent. See, you never know. And if you're wicked out there on the streets, you never know when you're going to die. You know, the thing of it is, I seen a horrible video the other day of a young black man. He was a father. He had looked like about a 4 or 5 year old girl. It must have been his girl. And they were walking across the street. A car stopped and a guy shot. And this guy thought they were waiting for him to cross because they were at the crosswalk. So the car stopped. So they went ahead and crossed. And as this guy passed him, you saw a hand come out of the car and shoot once, and he shot the guy and killed him. Now see, that guy was alive 1 minute and in the presence of the Lord. Hopefully. He's in eternity to be judged. Now the one that did the shooting, the blood that he just killed, that guy was innocent and he murdered him. That's called blood guilt, and God will hold him accountable whether he gets caught today, tomorrow, or even if he never gets caught. When he gets through and sees God, God will hold him accountable. Now see, this is the thing. You never know. In Isaiah 26:9, it says, with my soul have I desired thee in the night. Yea, with my spirit within me will I seek thee early. For when thy judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. Righteousness. Now it's really interesting when we see this, because when thy judgments are in the earth. Now see, we have the gospel. And today we look at the gospel going forth. And it says this gospel shall be preached in all the world for a witness, and then the end shall come. Well, see, we also know that the Dark One is coming with his false prophet. We know of the Great Tribulation, the Wrath of God Tribulation. We know right now that in the earth, a lot of nations are suffering a lot of things. But the thing of it is, folks, it's like this. There's a lot of people groups, there's a lot of nations that will not repent of what they do. You have a lot of extremist Muslims that do not stop killing Christians even during COVID. Matter of fact, a lot of them have prayed that God would send COVID. And, you know, when you talk about that, we've had black leaders, a certain Islamic black leader in this country, and he's well known, he's older now, said that he prayed to God would send COVID. And this is a guy that everybody knows, and he has a big following, and he has a mixture of Islam, Judaism, and Christianity all mishmashed together. Make no mistake, there are people that are not going to repent. But see, when God sent the judgments to Judah, the ones that went into captivity, the ones that made it through, they learned what God wanted them to learn. Now see, I tried to tell that to a guy who didn't want to listen. And you know, he never did get what I was saying. Matter of fact, this is the problem with social media. I always put a little bit of an explanation on, and I don't tell it everything, but what's in a particular broadcast. But see, this guy was arguing about what I was saying in the intro to, you know, my writing, and I put this with all my shows that I put on our website to let people know what this show is about. But it doesn't give you everything. You're supposed to listen to the show. He didn't listen to the show, and there's a lot of people just like that. And there's people that listen to one show and all of a sudden, you know, will think that they know everything that I believe with one show. No, you don't. You know, I've been doing this for over 2 decades. I have more audios and articles than you could read probably in your lifetime. I mean, I have got a lot. Tons of them. Original articles. And the anointing that God gave me allows me to do this. But see, the thing of it is, God is a holy God. And when he comes, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness, because this world is going to be filled with the knowledge of the Lord, and his holiness will be here, and he will live here, and there's not going to be sin. So if you're a sinner and you refuse to repent, guess what? You ain't going to be here. Now see, God sends judgments to correct people and bring them to him. And that gets back to right what Paul says in the New Testament. There is that point in there that God corrects us to bring us to him, to teach us a lesson. I know, I've been there. I know what that's like. Well, how do you know that you're right with God? Because I've been in a place where I wasn't totally right with God. That's how I know. And I'm not going to get into it because it's none of your business. And oh yeah, I knew the Lord. I just had a long-running argument with him. But you see, the thing of it is, this one says, with my soul have I desired thee in the night. Now, if you ever want to really know the Lord, you know, you seek him early in the morning, before all the disruptions. And when you go to bed, you think on the Lord before you go to sleep. And you pray, and you bless him for the day. He says, with my spirit within me will I seek thee early. Well, see, today, through redemptive process in Christ, the regeneration, we have his spirit, and his spirit works in us to deliver us and help us live above the lusts of the flesh. And that enables us. But see, make no mistake about it, when God wants to judge a people, when he wants to wake people up, he'll just send a judgment. He'll make you uncomfortable, in other words. You know, if we get back to Moses, God revealed himself to Moses just to show him that he could be in a bush without burning it. He was there to deliver the children of Israel because he had given Abraham promises, and Abraham had gained God's favor. Matter of fact, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness' sake, and that's the same process that Christians go through today. We believe God, and it's accounted unto us for righteousness when we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did. Well, see, Abraham himself had a real terrible dream, and that dream was about the time that the children of Israel was going to be in bondage in Egypt. But see, God sent deliverance through Moses. Well, see, when Moses was going, and Moses himself hadn't seen anything, he had left Egypt a long time ago, and God found him herding sheep, and up on the mount where he was, God appeared to him. And he said, you need to go deliver my people. This is what you're going to do. Moses, of course, was not in favor of this. And then after it finally went where, yeah, he was going to go, well, who am I going to tell him? You know, I seen a bush on fire and God spoke to me. God said to him, I am that I am. You will tell the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. In other words, it was he who has always been. There was never a time when he had never existed. He always was, and he is the one in charge. He's the creator. He's the I am he. When you talk about God, I am that I am. I am that God. I have always been that God. I am the only God, and I am the true God. Now today we say I am. The Lord introduced us to our God and our Father, who sent his only begotten Son, John 3:16. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. But if you follow that verse on down, it says that people won't come to the light because they love darkness. There's a whole batch of people that are in darkness. They like darkness. They don't want to come for whatever reason. He goes on to say, and tell Moses, thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. And the Lord God is Yahweh. See, God doesn't forget. And even in America, God doesn't forget. And even with Christians, God doesn't forget. And he has laid everything into the hands of Jesus. Isaiah 26:10, it says, let favor be showed to the wicked, yet will he not learn righteousness. In the land of uprightness will he deal unjustly and will not behold the majesty of the Lord. And this is one of the biggest things about humankind today. You know, how many people have I personally heard? I've seen on Twitter. I have seen in the news. I have known who blaspheme God or don't believe in God. I see people, and because I see so many stories and I see so many things that relate to what we do. You know, your breath, you take your breath for granted. You take the clothes on your back for granted in America. Your cars, your house, the sun that shines, the seasons that come around, the water that gets rained on your crops. And what does he get for it? People that blaspheme his name, blasphemes the name of the Lord. Now see, the prophets say in here, God, let your favor be shown to the wicked. In other words, don't destroy them. Let them live in the land. Let them enjoy the sun and the moon and the stars and the season and all the fruits and the gardens and the vegetables and the meat and everything there is. Let them enjoy their life and their wine and rejoice and be happy. But he says, yet he's not going to learn righteousness. Even in a land of uprightness, he's not going to learn to deal righteous. He'll deal unjustly. You see, in America, we're supposed to be different. We're not different. They have riots. Now, we castigated China for trying to stop the riots in Hong Kong. And we have people around the world that we report on that are facing Boko Haram, Al-Shabaab, Al-Qaeda, and there's some groups of ISIS left. There's the Fulani herdsmen. There's China. There's North Korea. There's Iran. There's many places where you find Christians imprisoned unjustly and are killed and murdered, and yet these people all think that they're just and they're doing right. They go around and they kill and they murder. They maim. They kick people out. They afflict them. And they're not learning righteousness. As God's favor is to given to all men, that is the wicked and the righteous all together, he's not going to learn righteous. Not at all. You have to repent. You have to come unto the Lord to learn true righteousness. Now see, in the days of Isaiah, they had the covenant, they had the law and the prophets, and that was what we had then. Today we have Yahshua, we have Jesus, who died on the cross, and we're to repent and come unto him, and we're to give the gospel. The gospel is the salt and the light and the preservative, and as preachers preach that, we can send that out to do its job. But see, we stopped that a long time ago. And you see, judgments were needed. And that's really what this prophet is saying. They were needed to correct the people. God needed to send Judah into captivity. Why? In order to keep them from being destroyed. In order to get them to see, you're doing the wrong thing here. You may have my name on your temple, but you are an abomination. He told Jeremiah not even to pray for him. It was detrimental. What do you think he's saying about America? We're not worried about China. They never were a Christian nation. They didn't have pilgrims on the shore of China. We had pilgrims here who were being persecuted in other lands. And they came here. And when they came here, they set up and they knelt on the shores and prayed to God and covenanted with him. Now, you may not like that today. Now, the only thing you can say is that you're all bigots and you're racist. But I'm telling you, if this nation hadn't been founded the way it was and God hadn't blessed it the way it did, there would have been no America to save the world from Hitler. And make no mistake, Great Britain was about to fall. All of Europe had been taken. Japan had joined them, and so did Italy. And it wasn't until America got involved, both in Europe and around the world, as well as in the South Pacific, where my dad was. And we're here today, folks. And we've got a mess. And the solution of sin is repentance and the blood of Jesus Christ. And when we look at Isaiah, we can find some of the greatest prophecies of the coming of the Messiah that are written today. Now Nehemiah, remember, he's the one that actually came back. It says Nehemiah 1:8, remember, I beseech thee, the word that thou commandest thy servant Moses, saying, if you transgress, I will scatter you abroad among the nations. That's what Nehemiah, now remember, he was to do some building too. He says, remember what God warned you? Now you're going to be out of captivity. Now, are you going to learn your lesson or not? That's why some Christians are always being chastised. They never learn a lesson. They never repent. They never stop doing it. Paul says in Romans 2:4, or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering? He puts up with the way you are because he wants you to come to repentance. And that's to the wicked and to the righteous both. To the wicked, he endures a lot of stuff, and he allows it because he wants them to repent and stop doing. And to the Christian, he deals with them in his way because he treats them as sons and daughters. But it goes on to say, not knowing that the goodness of God leads us to repentance. I had issues with God, but God remained the same. And when you're trying to wait it out with the holy God who's perfect, I mean, it just don't work. And see, there's the difference. The lesson of Judah going in is that God will do that with whoever has a relationship with him. Because you're not going to access God on a continual basis if you always live in sin and won't repent. That's not going to work. Isaiah 26:11, it says, Lord, when thy hand is lifted up, they will not see it, but they shall see and be ashamed for their envy at the people. Yea, the fire of thine enemies shall devour them. You see, when Judah, the bottom line of it is, when they were, and the Lord says that he woke up early to warn them, and he does that by sending the prophets. America, you've been warned. And there's been a lot of warnings. Billy Graham throughout the earth, I mean, and in America, preaching, warning. Franklin Graham. David Wilkerson. And many, many others. Going way back. And when you see the hand of God begin to move, you'll know it because things are going to move in the earth. When you see that anthropomorphism, it's a long word. It means ascribing human parts when we speak of God in an effort to make an example. When thy hand is lifted up, I mean, if you're going to slap someone, you lift up your hand. I mean, you... And see, Judah didn't see, they didn't listen when Judah was rebelling against the Lord. I mean, the prophets of Judah didn't see it. The high priest in there, none of them in the temple that worked saw it. The king didn't see it. The princess didn't see it. Nobody saw it. They didn't believe Jeremiah. They even locked him up at one point. And it says here, Lord, when thy hand is lifted up, they will not see. No, they won't. When judgment comes to America, you're not going to see. When judgment comes to the nations as general, you're not going to see. When God begins to upturn your apple cart, I mean, there's a lot of issues here. But he says, but they shall see. Because God will raise up an enemy that says the fire of thine enemies shall devour them. But the same thing of it is that not only did Judah not see, but they eventually learned, Babylon didn't see at all. And they weren't going to be redeemed. Now there was a group of them, because the Jews were there for a long time, 70 years. Because if you look back to when the children of Israel came out of Egypt, there was a mixed multitude of people that weren't Jews, but they're following them. The same thing happened when they went back this time from Babylon. But see, Babylon didn't see Cyrus come. They didn't recognize. See, at the same time Babylon was judged, Judah was redeemed. I mean, that's a good feeling, but see, the Lord does tell him. Leave Babylon. He told them to leave Babylon. And let Jerusalem come to mind. In Mystery Babylon, it says, come out of her, my people, so that you don't receive of her plagues. You don't want to get paid for the penalty of their sins. You want to get out of there. You know, if you're right with God, you need to get out of there. Your sins have already been paid for on the cross. These people don't want to repent. You need to get out of there because God's going to judge them. When God swats, you don't want to be under his hand when he does it. You want to be behind him. because everything in front he's going to judge with a fire. You need to be covered in the blood of the Lamb. But see, the nations saw exactly what God did to the children of Israel in Egypt. And when the children of Israel was coming into the Promised Land, that scared a lot of them. They knew what their God was able to do. That's the glory of God. They knew that. But see, Israel was divided into two houses, in their northern tribes and Judah. And over the years, the northern tribes got sent into captivity. Well, not captivity. They were just overrun and devoured. It was only Judah that was sent into captivity and returned. You don't get in the way. Judah was judged, but Judah came back. And you could say Judah was redeemed out of that judgment. Then they were. Now see, this is where some people have a problem. Well, they didn't accept the Lord Jesus Christ. They didn't have to. They didn't have the Lord at that time. And everybody worries about Israel today. God will take care of Israel. With or without the United States, with or without any of the rest of you, he will take care of Israel. And there are a lot of Messianic Jews there that are reaching their own people. So when Judah went back home, they were right with the Lord, whether all you modern Christians believe they were or not. They were fine with God at that time. And God was redeeming them and bringing them unto himself. Now see, we're looking at Isaiah here. Now, today we do have the Messiah. And a lot of people need to be saved, not just the Jews. And a lot of them that won't. And there's going to be Jews that today are hard to reach. Matter of fact, some of them are as stubborn as a lot of them Muslim extremists. Only God can touch the heart. And we are seeing God move in a mighty way in the toughest areas today. And we're seeing the enemies of God, the enemies of Christians, we're seeing leaders of the faith coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. So much so that it worries certain nations. And in China, the church was growing so much, there were more Christians there than communists, and the communists started cracking down. You begin to fear. Why did the children of Israel suddenly start getting persecuted in Egypt? Because there came a king that did not know, a Pharaoh that did not know Israel, and Israel was being blessed by the Lord and they were multiplying, so this king started persecuting them. Now see, the problem you get is if God would have left them alone and the Pharaoh never did persecute them, the children of Israel would have stayed in Egypt forever because they were getting along so well. Well, that's not the promise of God. The promise of God is, I'm going to give you a land, and there was a specific place, and he promised Abraham they had to get out of there. Just like in Babylon, God didn't want them in Babylon forever. He wanted them back in the land. That's where they were supposed to be. And as a Christian, God has a place for you. So pay attention. He's going to be talking to you. Pay attention and listen and stay there when he puts you there. Father, we thank you for your word tonight and learning from this story, this truths out of the book of Isaiah. Help us to learn, move in our hearts. Bless those that hear this whenever they do. Teach them, Lord, and be with them. And in Jesus' name, I bind you, Satan, and the powers of darkness from the preaching, teaching, streaming, and receiving of this word. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, Tower.
Boy, it kind of surprised me when you ended it. I thought an hour surely hasn't gone by.
Well, it has, and...
That's too bad. I really enjoyed this. I like it. You know the first verse that you read?
Yeah.
Isaiah 26:8. Yea, in the way of thy judgments, O Lord, have we waited for thee. The desire of our soul is to thy name and to thy remembrance of thee. I think about that really applies to this day and age with what's going on in America. I believe that we're under judgment and, you know, the whole earth. And I think that just applies to this day and age. That's what I think. That's how I thought about it.
Well, I think that scripture is very prevalent to the coming of the Lord. I think as a Christian, and if you love God, that's what you're going to feel.
You should look forward to that.
Yeah, yeah. You're going to want to.
Yeah.
And, you know, these verses in Isaiah speak a lot to us as Christians. And see, that's the problem. You get over there in some of this social media, people have never heard you before, don't know anything of what you're teaching. And they take something out of context. You can't talk to them because they think they know already.
Right.
And so they start condemning you for stuff that, you know, I mean, this particular one was griping and moaning about and telling me things that I was doing that I already believed in. I already teach it. But he didn't take the time to listen to the show in order to find out anything. See, and this is the way we are in America today. We are divided. And we do a lot of this judging. And there's judgment coming, folks, for this country. And we've been warning for a long time. So, this end time ministry that we're doing now, we were specifically called to over 2 decades ago. But Tower and I first discussed America falling back in the 70s. So make no mistake, we've known about this for a long time.
I think, as others have as well, a lot of people. But we expected it sooner. We didn't expect it to go on this long.
We're going to have to get out of here.
Okay, good night, everybody. Thanks for joining us whenever you do. We love you. Be careful in all that you do. Stay safe. And thank you for all you do for the Lord. May He richly bless you. Good night.
Don't forget to go by our websites, warren-usa.com, danaglennsmith.com. We have a lot of articles. Be sure to check those out and read it. We are on Parler. That's the latest one that I think is really where a lot of people are going to. And Clout Club, which is a little different kind of one. We're on MeWe. We're on USA.life. We've got 3 different Twitter feeds. We've got Instagram, we're on LinkedIn, and we're on Tumblr. So you can find us, and if you follow us, you will know what we're doing, when we're doing it, and the latest articles and everything. So God bless, good night, take care, and be safe. Shalom, everybody.
Thank you for listening to this episode of The Warn Radio.